Carrying on. Hilchot Loshna Horl Chofetz Chaim, a daily companion, Lizchus, Pushlema of Yosef Dov Ben Chela, Lizach Or Chule Yisroel. So we're on to day 68, dealing with Talmidei Chachomim, and the Chofetz Chaim starts off by telling us how terrible it is to speak Loshna Horl about the Talmud Chochem, as Yanki has been mentioned in the last few days. Obviously, we are obligated to honor Talmidei Chachomim, and speaking Lashon Hara is certainly not giving them covered. However, there's something more serious at stake. When one speaks Lashon Hara about a Talmud Chochem, the underlying message is that the Talmud Chochem's flaw disqualifies him from giving a sound psak, or sound opinion. The speaker of Lashon Hara is actually saying we don't have to listen to him, and the influence of this person's wicked words may cause others to say to themselves, why should we seek the opinion of this Rav? He's not great enough to come up with the right answer. We might as well figure out the answer for ourselves. Chofetz Chaim gives us a helpful insight into the strategy which the Yetzer Hara uses to entice someone into speaking Lashon Hara against Talmud Chochem. It's true, says the Yetzer Hara, that you should not shame a Talmud Chochem, but that's not the problem nowadays. Only in earlier generations, when Talmud Chochem was a real Talmud Chochem, exceedingly high level, shaming a Talmud Chochem was a serious avera. But nowadays, when Talmud Chochem know far less than they used to, it's no longer an issue. So this might come when a person starts speaking Lashon Hara, he undermines Talmud Chochem. The Chofetz Chaim informs us that this is patently false. The criteria by which we judge whether someone is to be considered Talmud Chochem are based on the level of the generation. And we'll carry on the Mitzvah Shem on Friday. Start your day the Terraway in Northwest London, Tuesday, Erev Shavuos, Hay Sivan, 49th day of the Omer, 11th of June. Rabbi Chaim Gross Schlitter, Talmud Torah, like no other mitzvah. This week's Torah is sponsored anonymously with the Schus HaShavuim V'Chayolim Bamil Chamosh, Yachsul Avotem, Shalom Bim Heiro.
Good morning. Nice to see you all. I've never seen you in this location. It's been many years since I've had the opportunity and the schus to learn to discuss a sugya with you. So the sugya I wanted to discuss today was as follows. And I think this is probably a very common shaila. If someone goes and buys a wonderful new set of sforim, these days there are some excellent girsas of Shas Bavli Tfusim available. If someone goes to buy a new set of Shas, it's a very choshev a kniya. Do they have to, should they, are they able to make a Shechianu on their new purchase or not? Now this shaila is actually going to take us on a very interesting and varied journey, which starts in the following place. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Chav Ches discusses, for whatever reason, a particular person took the shofar of a korban oila or a korban shlamim off of the animal and decided to use the shofar which was taken from an animal dedicated as a korban to use to be mekayim, or try to be mekayim the mitzvah of tekiyas shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Are they able to be yetzer their mitzvah with the shofar of a korban? So Rava, the Amora Rava, debates back and forth what the din should be. Now, what's the potential issue? Why should there be a problem? Looks like a good old shofar. Who cares about the history of where it came from? So the Ritva explains that the dilemma over here is the possibility of a mitzvah haba ba'avera. On the one hand, he's trying to do the mitzvah of tekiyas shofar. Very nice. On the other hand, there's an avera to be ner from an oila, to be ner from a shlamim. So we have over here potentially a clash. On the one hand, mitzvahs tekiyas shofar from Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, the avera being ner from kodshim. What's the din? So that's the dilemma. What's the din? Rava says eventually, echad zeh ve'echad zeh, whether it's a shofar of an oil or a shofar shlamim, yatza, based on the klal of a big old klal called mitzvahs, which you may, I see, be familiar with, lav lehenas nitnu. Mitzvahs are not considered a pleasure doesn't sound like the most exciting message to be broadcasting on Erev Shavuos, yeah? Mitzvahs are not considered a pleasure. We'll redefine slightly what that means. That means that in the world of Isuri Hanar, what's considered an act of taking benefit, a mitzvah is not considered such an act. We'll define more what that means in a second, but le'inyanenu, that means if the dilemma was there's a mitzvah bar bar vera over here, on the one hand, he's trying to do a mitzvah to kir shofar, on the other hand, he's being ne'er from an oida or a shlamim, well, the answer is he's not actually being ne'er from an oida or a shlamim. Because it's a mitzvah, therefore there's no avera. The context of his use of the shofar is to become a mitzvah. A mitzvah itself is not considered a mice, an act of lekichas hana, and therefore there's actually no clash whatsoever between the mitzvah and avera. There's no problem with mitzvah bar avera. This is why Rava says, echad zeh ve'echad zeh yatzah, mitzvahs lav lehenas nitnu. Rashi in Sukkah defines this rule in a tight way. Rashi says the mitzvahs were not given back in the day, Erev Shavuos, to Klal Yisrael, that their kiyum should be a hana for them. Rather, it says Rashi, an avoidas eved l'raboy. When touching up, what's the essential DNA of a ma'aseh mitzvah? It's an act of servitude that a yid does for his master. Rav Shimon Shkop explains in slightly more depth that what's considered a lekichas hana, benefiting in the world of Isuri Hana, is when a person takes a certain object and uses it for their own purpose. They're gaining some personal benefit from their use of the object. The lekech, the chayfetz la'atzma, masha'en kein, in the context of the mitzvah, once it's avoided, it's ever the rabbi, using an object to do someone else's job, explains Rav Shimon, that's not considered lekichas hana, that's the yesod behind mitzvahs lav lehenas nitnu, which comes up in several places. Just to gain a certain further depth, this is not essentially nogea to our particular shaila with the svarim, but important to know nevertheless. The Ritva asks a question. He says, mitzvahs lav lehenas nitnu. He says that there's a machlokes in the Gemara whether there's such a thing as schar mitzvah b'hai alma. Does a person get reward for their mitzvah in this world or not? The Ritva says, according to the opinion, it says that there is such a thing as schar mitzvah b'hai alma. How can he tell him mitzvahs lav lehenas nitnu? He is gaining the schar of the mitzvah. So already the Ritva's warming up our ears to the possibility maybe the kiyum of the mitzvah, the mice of doing a mitzvah is a mice of this. That's an act of servitude, but maybe the benefit, there's an additional benefit he's going to get. He's going to get schar. Hopefully he'll have a good life for doing his mitzvahs. Says the Ritva, I'm paraphrasing obviously, good kasha, but even if you hold this schar mitzvah b'hai alma, that schar will only come 15, 20, 30 years down the line. But that's not something which he is benefiting from right now. Now with that warm up in mind, worth listening to the following machlokes rishonim. The Gemara says further on in the sugya in Rosh Hashanah, what happens if a person is mudahana? They're not allowed to take any benefit from particular mayan. A mikvah. They're not allowed to take benefit from particular mayan. So the Gemara says, well, they're allowed to be tovin in that mayan, which makes sense to us. What's the hana? The hana is to mekayim his mitzvah of tevila, but the mitzvah of tevila is a mitzvah, and therefore it's not actually a hana. So, albeit it looks superficially like he's being over on this particular mikveh, he's not allowed to take any hana from. It looks like he's being over on that when he goes and does a tevila in it. Says the Gemara, that's not a problem. When he's doing his tevila, he's not really taking benefit, because the context of his benefit is that it's a mitzvah. A mitzvah is a lav lehenas nitnu. That's a basic psak of the Gemara. Okay? However, the Gemara then says, actually it depends. It depends what time of the year it is. I came from a very, very hot place. I think in Eretz Yisrael it was 38, 39. And the weather here is pleasant, yeah? Better than expected, yeah? Truth is, I've been in Eretz Yisrael for 25 years. I think I'll miss the British weather, crisp, fresh air. Anyway, probably shouldn't say that about Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, as follows. So the Gemara says it depends. If we're dealing with the winter, Yemos HaGashamim, Enachinami, it's fine for him to be tovin in the mikveh. The hana that he's getting is only the hana of a mitzvah. Hana of a mitzvah is not considered halachli hana. However, says the Gemara, if it's Yemos HaChama, if it's the sun, if it's the summer, then he's not allowed to be tovin in the mikveh. Why not? His intention is for a mitzvah. What isser is he being over? He's muda hana from this mayan. Beseder, but he's doing a mitzvah. So obviously in the summer, where the weather's hot, there's a difference. What is that difference? So the Ran explains, it's Meduik and Rashi as well, that in addition to the hana that he's getting of being Mekayim, the Mitzvah Tevila, in the summer, His body is also cooling down. His body is also cooling down. There's hanas haguf. So there's a tangential hana, and that hana of his guf cooling down and him enjoying that in the summer days, that's not essential to the kiyam mitzvah. And therefore, in the summer, says the Gemara, explains the Ram, why the Gemara is saying that in the summer, it's asked to be tovah, because in addition to the hanas ha-mitzvah, which is not considered a hana based on the klal of mitzvahs, lav and henes nitnu, his guf is cooling down. And when there's an additional hanas haguf, that said the runners in the Dorim, on that, it won't help us the klal of mitzvahs, lav and henes nitnu, because there's a mitzvah plus the hanas haguf. However, interestingly, the Me'iri gives a different explanation for the Gemara. The Me'iri says that actually the reason why he can't be tovah in the mikveh, being Meisachama in the summer, is because inevitably, after he finishes his mitzvahs tevila, he's still going to be in the cold water for a few moments or a few minutes afterwards. It takes a while to get out of the water. So says the Miri, Kozman, that he's being, I'm paraphrasing again, Kozman, he's being Mekayim, the mitzvah of tevila in the mikveh. There's no, Kozman, he's been Mekayim the mitzvah, there's no problem, even though his guf is being there. It's just the fact is, when he's finished his mitzvah, he's inevitably going to hang around in the water for a few minutes. That won't help. It won't help us that he's doing a mitzvah, because that's already after the kiyum of the mitzvah, and that's why he can't go to the mikveh, b'yumei sachama. But you see, there's a machlokes we're showing him over here. The Me'iri didn't say the Ran's answer, that his body's being ne'ene during the mitzvah. Kanirah, according to the Me'iri, in the context of doing the Maisa Mitzvah, nothing, no hana, not the hana of the mitzvah, not even the hana of a guf is considered halakhically a hana. Therefore, the Miri had to come on to those moments that he's lingering in the mikveh after he finished his tevila to explain why the Gemara asks us such a thing.
Depends when the mitzvah is finished. The tevila is finished.
So, it's good. The Miri had to come on to the fact that tevila must be finished before he came out of the water, yeah? The other Rishonim hold that even before the tevila is finished, the fact that his guf is being ne'eneh, on that, we don't have the rule of mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu. Mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu is only a nidoin vis-a-vis the hana of actually being mekayim the mitzvah. Okay, that's a bit of extra background about this klal of mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu. So now, le'inyaneinu, what would you say, Rabbi Isai? So someone buys a new set of sfarim, which he's going to do a mitzvah with, then if the bracha of shechianu is nitkan on the hana being taken for the use of the object, someone buys a new car and they want to make a shechianu. So, let's say the shech. I'm actually not sure. It depends exactly what model the car is and what age it is. It could just be the very existence of the car would give a person a certain hana. I bought a second-hand car, disclaimer, 2 or 3 days ago, but I didn't make a shechianu or a tovah meitiv because I was still intimidated by the size of the halva I needed to take to buy it. But let's say that this wasn't an issue. yeah, thanks for allowing me this honest forum. If that wasn't the issue, someone bought a new car, so assuming that the bracha is on the tashmish of the car, so he's nene from the use of the car, that's a good candidate for saying a shechianu. So with sfarim, it doesn't sound like this ground is saying a shechianu. What his use for them is to be mekayim the mitzvah Talmud Torah. To be mekayim the mitzvah, we're already lovingly familiar with the klal of mitzvah is lav lehenes nitnu. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah says in Reish Chaf Gimel. The Mishnah Berurah says when it comes to new sforim, whether you say shechan or not, the Mishnah Berurah says, yesh deyos ben acharonim, there's different opinions amongst acharonim, whether you should make a bracha or not make a bracha. The Mishnah Berurah says, well, if you're coming to, if your interest in these sforim, if your hana, your simcha, is in the fact you're going to use them to learn, on that, says the Mishnah Berurah, avada you will make a shechan, a mitzvah is lav and a head is nitnu. Elamai, says the Mishnah Berurah, brings a chaya adam that if your hana in the purchasing of the sfarim was because you were pursuing a particular sefer, there was some, you know, version of a particular achron for the late 19th century which you haven't been able to get hold of, then you flew to Europe and managed finally to get hold of it after a three-month pursuit, on that you'd say, you would perhaps say a shechianu, because there, the shechianu would not be on the use of the object, it'd just be on the fact you managed to get hold of it in the first place. Okay, but the basic psak of the Mishnah Berurah is, when you buy sfarim, you don't make a shechianu, because of the klal of mitzvahs, lav lehenes nitnu. Okay? Now, I've arrived at the Mishnah Berurah, but as you can probably work out from the timing of my arrival, there's more to be said over here. Okay? And the interest, or the complication, however you put it, goes as follows. Okay, adkan, hopefully the klal's very clear. It's a simple klal with a slight nuanced difference. In the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, when you go into the mikveh, Rashi's explanation, Shimon Shkop, mitzvahs, lav lehenes nitnu, Mishnah Berurah therefore says, no shechianu on use farim, assuming that your shechianu would be focused on the use of the sfarim rather than the fact you actually managed to get hold of them in the first place. Okay? Good. So the complication begins as follows. There's a Mishnah in Nedarim on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. The Mishnah in Nedarim discusses Reuven and Shimon. Reuven and Shimon, I guess, fell out and decided that they would, both of them would take a neder that each one could be not cannot be ne'er from the other one. Reuven cannot be ne'er from Shimon, and Shimon cannot be ne'er from Reuven. That's what the Mishnah says. And the Mishnah says, in that situation, there's certain communal properties which are owned by the entirety of the town, and both Reuven and Shimon are not allowed to use these properties. Let's just say there's 100 people in the town. There are certain things which the local halachic council would demand that everyone makes a contribution, and therefore they had joint ownership of all the citizens of the city or the town. The Mishnah gives examples, the bathhouse or the pavements. Everyone had to give their taxes or their money. Everyone had to put their money in such that these things were now jointly owned. In that situation, because Reuven and Shimon are both gave their money, that means they've got partial ownership in all of these things, and therefore they can't actually use any of them. I don't know how Reuven and Shimon get by without the pavement, but whatever, they'll work it out. Good. So that's what the Mishnah says. Reuven and Shimon are not allowed to be ne'er from these the things the Mishnah calls them. Shel oiso ha'ir. Now, the Mishnah lists examples, as I told you. There's the pavement, the harchava, the town square. There's a bathhouse as well. One of the things which the Mishnah adds is communally owned, and therefore Reuven and Shimon are not allowed to use, are none other than Svarim. One of the things which was normal for the town to demand everyone put money in to take joint ownership from is Svarim. What type of Svarim? So Rashi on the side in the Nedarim says Sifrei Torah. Sifrei Torah back in those days actually would learn from Sifrei Torah. But Tosa says, even more explicitly, Svarim lil moed mehem. Svarim which the town needed, basic things, Shas, Tor, Shulchan Aruch, those Svarim, that's what everyone had to contribute, and therefore everyone had, in this case, Shimon had a 1% ownership, Reuven had a 1% ownership. Those Svarim, because Reuven and Shimon could not be ne'er one from the other, they're not allowed to use those Svarim. Tosa says they're using these Svarim to learn from. Ad Kan, the Mishnah in the Dorim. Lamisboy then, the Mishnah is a Pella, because, hooray, they're coming to do the mitzvah. They're coming to the mitzvah of learning with these Svarim. So when Reuven goes and learns from a sefer which Shimon's got part ownership from, why is Reuven being ne'er from Shimon? Halloy, he's coming to the mitzvah. We know the famous klal is the mitzvah is lav lehen es nitnu. This kasha bothered the Rishonim tremendously. Yeah, the kasha bothered the Rishonim ad kadei kach. The Beis Yosef reports b'shem the Rashba. Then the Rashba had a different gear, so the Rashba was not the Rashba mikoach. This kasha was held that the Giris and the Mishnah cannot include the word Svarim. The Klal Gadol is Mitzvahs Lav Nehen Es Nitnu. What's the problem with Reuven learning from a Sefer which Shimon partly owns and vice versa? They're coming to Mekah a Mitzvah with them. What could possibly be the problem? And therefore, the Psak Halacha, Lefi the Rashba is, in such a situation, it's absolutely fine for Reuven and Shimon. They can't go into the bathhouse, but they can learn from the Svarim of that town, even though they both have ownership in it. Ad Kana Rashba. It's like Kasha from the Rashba. Rashba says he cannot be Sovel that Mishnah says the word Svarim. Okay. Yeah.
There may be other communal things owned, like the bathhouse, going to the mikveh, which is also used for a mitzvah, though. So why just Svarim is singled out for this question?
Yeah, good. Any 100%. I was contemplating this question yesterday in the airplane. L'chaira, the pshat is that if the bathhouse was used only in the context of a mitzvah, right, then we'd have the same kasha with the
But when you look at the Svarim, they are known. The Svarim is using somebody else's property.
Good, but the...
No, he doesn't like it, people to use it. To ruining the pages, whatever. But you're looking on the Anoa. It's not the Anoa. The property is somebody else you're using.
I mean, if there's a general hakpada to use Svarim, and by Reuven using this sefer, he's being over on Shimon's hakpada. If Shimon's hakpada is appropriate hakpada, which will make her nafgamina, the word of Isuri Hanar, then that's what the problem would be. I hear it could be, but the Mishnah says it across the board. Yeah, Shimon could be the nicest guy in the world, and he can write in the front of the sefer. I'm not sure how many people write this. Mutter lehishtamesh bli rishus. Yeah? And I really want my sefer. Actually, it's actually very nice. My sefer's dog-eared. People might think I've learned it twice. Afal Pekins is a Mishnah. Reuven can't use a sefer. Yeah, it's across the board. So the Rashba wasn't able to be sefer of this Mishnah. It cannot be that includes the word sfarim. The complication, the Mishnah also says base knesses. That was what was bothering me on the aeroplane. Okay, knesses. Good.
Surely as soon as you give donate to the community, it's no longer yours to have any further claim.
Oh, so that's when I said tax the... It sounds like the way they set it up is that the town demanded, the boy site, there's 100 of us here, there are certain things which are very... doesn't sound like it's a tax that someone gave over or even a donation. It sounds like these are... the Mishnah calls it Dava Shel Oisair. These are community-owned things that we've all got. And a chinami, it was a donation.
You can't demand your paving stone back afterwards once it's been put down. It belongs to the community.
And who's that community made up of?
Yeah,
I understand what you're saying. Then kids made stuck on that type of thing. There's a mustache of a kid and said we're owning it. I'm saying the Dava Shel Oisair, that's how the way that they set up was that we're all now, all of us are now in this together, and the bias of the Yachid still appeared within the fact that it was a communal thing. That, yeah, that's better, and that's inescapable from the Mishnah, yeah? I'm not answering your question, just describing what the Mishnah is describing. Okay, good. Okay, so now that was the Kasha of the Rashba. Steps in Rabbein Avraham and Ahar. Rabbein Avraham and Ahar, you may well know this, it's quite a famous piece. He reports over the Rabbein Avraham and Ahar's Rishon. Yeah, he reports over this Kasha of the Rishon. He says, Love Kushahu. It's not a Kasha Bichlal. Not only do I have an answer to the Kasha, Heptzach Nishtod, doesn't begin this Kasha. He says, because what mitzvah is it that the Reuven will be coming to do when he takes this Sefer, which is partially owned by Shimon? He's not doing a standard mitzvah. He's not trying to blow a shofar. He's not going to be Tovin in the Mayan. He's in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Says Rabbein Avraham and Ahar, Talmud Torah is like no other mitzvah. When it comes to other mitzvahs, like for example being to care a shofar, there the nature of the mitzvah is you take an object and you do with the object, as we quoted from Rashi previously, a Maisa Avdus. That Maisa Avdus, that's a setup, a particular act of Maisa Avdus, on that is Nehmar, the Klal of Mitzvahs Lav Lehenas Nitnu. Masha Einkein says, Rabbein Avraham and Ahar, when it comes to Talmud Torah, listen to this, he says, the Ikar Tzivui in Talmud Torah, not doing some Maisa, physical Maisa Avdus, the Ikar Tzivui, the nature of the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah is that you should be Mitzayer in your lave to picture, understand the ideas in your heart, and be misaneg from your learning, and to enjoy, to be nene from your learning. That's how you go about being mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's the essential DNA of this mitzvah, is a tzivui to enjoy, to be nene in what you're doing. Explained to Rabbein Avraham Nahar, that's why an avel is asa b'divrei Torah, because he might try very hard to, so as he's just doing this to fight, no, that inevitably, the nature of the tzivui is, when it comes to Talmud Torah, go and be ne'er from the mitzvah itself. It's like no other mitzvah in that respect. Therefore, says Rabbein Avraham Ahar, it's very pashut why the Mishnah includes the word sfarim. Limud HaTorah is not a Maisa Avdus. Limud HaTorah, the etzem tzivui, is to be ne'er and misanik from the learning. Unbelievable, Rabbein Avraham Ahar. And with this, he says,
it's not a tzivui, it is a result of the mitzvah.
No, he says, I'm quoting his words, kimat verbatim. He says, the tzivui is, sit down and be nene from the act that you're doing. Don't, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do some kind of Maisa Avdus for me. Fashtei Tzarech HaBoisa. Yeah, this was the disclaimer at the beginning. Even though the Gemara says mitzvah is love and hennessy, it doesn't mean you're not supposed to do a mitzvah besimcha, doesn't mean you're not supposed to enjoy it, yeah? Please don't quote me. That's not what they mean. They mean the essential bottom line of a normal mitzvah is a Maisa Avdus. Masha Ein Kei Tavah Torah. The tzivui is, be misaneg in what you're doing. It's not a Maisa Avdus. Take Hana for yourself from this mitzvah. Therefore, says Rabbein Avraham and Ahar, when it comes to these sefarim, we can understand very well why when Reuven is using a sefer, which is at least partially owned by Shimon, and he's been mekayim with the mitzvahs Talmud Torah, aha, on that is considered a hana. Okay, that's a groundbreaking Rabbein Avraham and Ahar, with which he was miyashev the Rashba's kasha. Obviously, the Rashba didn't hold this because he held by his kasha. Okay, but with that in mind, we've got still 9 minutes, we'll just go a step further. Listen to this nice lishitasam. Earlier in Nedarim, there's a different Mishnah which says that in a situation where Reuven can't take any hana from Shimon, it's mutter for Shimon to teach Reuven Midrash, but he cannot teach him Mikra. He can teach him Midrash, but he cannot teach him Torah Shabbat. Reuven cannot take hana from Shimon. Shimon cannot teach him Mikra, but he can teach him Midrash. That is what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah explains the problem in teaching in Shimon teaching Reuven Mikra Tereshah B'Ksav. If Reuven is not allowed to be Ne'edah from Shimon, it's because it's the type of place where it was mutter for a teacher who is teaching Mikra to take money for his teaching. There's different explanations about why he's allowed to take money, but if Shimon teaches Reuven for free, then Reuven is Ne'edah by not paying Shimon the money which Shimon would have a right to take in such a town. That's the Mishnah. That's a clip suck. Frek the Run in the small print. The Run says, I understand in a situation where Shimon is teaching Reuven Midrash, which you're not allowed to take money for. So when Shimon's teaching Reuven Midrash for free, that means Shimon is not saving any money. He's not being ne'er for the money which he would have paid Shimon for teaching him Midrash. It says, the Run, I understand that. But surely Reuven, when Shimon's teaching him Midrash for free, is being ne'er from the fact that he's got mitzvahs Talmud Torah. Says the Run, no, that's not a problem. We all know the famous klal of mitzvahs lav ne'enas nitnu. Shimon's teaching Reuven Midrash for free, so he's not. But it's a place where people don't take money if you're teaching Midrash. Says the Mishnah set, therefore says it's fine. So ask the Run the question, why is it fine? Surely Reuven is being ne'er from the fact that he's doing this mitzvah. Says the Run, nay. Mitzvahs lav ne'enas nitnu. What would we, okay? Ad kan divrei Run. What would you expect Rabbi Avraham and Ahara to say? He's in trouble, right? Because when Shimon teaches Reuven Midrash for free, he might not be saving money if it's a place where they don't take money for teaching Midrash, but he's been there with the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So none other than Rabbein Avraham and Ahar himself, he's got two lines on that Mishnah where he says, in Yuvot, he says, it's true that Shimon's teaching Reuven, and Reuven for free, and Reuven's being ne'er, I'm paraphrasing, Reuven's being ne'er because he's got the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, he's being ne'er. But there's a new reason why it's okay, because when Shimon's teaching Machmas Atzmo Hu Malamed, which means Shimon's gaining for himself by the fact that he's teaching over the Midrash, and that's also a benefit for him, so it's not considered like he's giving anything to Reuven. I don't exactly understand what he's saying, but I certainly understand why he had to say something. The Ran and the other Rishonim understand the Klal of Mitzvahs Lav Ne'enas that applies to all mitzvahs, including Talmud Torah. That's why the Rashba took it out of his Giras in the Mishnah. But Rabbein Avraham and Ahar, who understood the Mishnah, the previous Mishnah in the Dharam included the word Sfarim, holds that the Klal of Mitzvahs Lav Ne'enas that does not apply to Talmud Torah. So now that we see that it's okay for Shimon to teach Reuven, well, what's up, Shat? Reuven's being ne'er with the Talmud Torah which Shimon's teaching him. So Rabbein Avraham and Ahar had to say some kind of new understanding to get out of that Mishnah. He was in trouble. His new understanding is that when Shimon's teaching, we have to understand this form, which we don't really have time to do. Shimon's not really giving Reuven anything because Shimon himself is benefiting. Marcus Atzmoy, he's teaching it. Just in our. So that's Lashitasam, that there was this machlokes about whether Talmud Torah is considered Hana, is not considered Hana. Le'inya Neinu, what would we say about Sforim? So if we go back now, if we ask Rabbein Avraham and Ahara, Kasha, Ashila, what would happen if you bought a beautiful, or someone bought for you, even better, chas and chas, would you make a shechianu, not make a shechianu? So the Mishnah Berurah told us, don't make a shechianu, because if your hana is not just, it's on the shelf where you manage to get hold of it, your hana is the usage, on that's in the Mishnah Berurah, mitzvahs lav ne'enas nitnu. The Mishnah Berurah is clearly in the base medrash of the Rashba, who could not be sober the word sfarim in the Mishnah in the Darim, because sfarim, limonateri, is included in the club. We've went to ask this shayla to Rabbein Avraham Ahar, he'd definitely say that you would make a shechianu, right? That is, again, I then once got in trouble in this forum. This is no halacha lemaisa. This is just speaking out the sugya. Yeah, but that's Mishnah Berurah Paskas not to do it, yeah? But Rabbein Avraham Ahar says that would say, if we were to ask him that shayla, avada you'd make a shechian on new svarim, because what you're coming to do, even when you're coming to use a svarim, that's considered, like no other mitzvah, a maisa of hana.
He's using it.
His use of that sefer is considered a hana. If it was any other mitzvah, if it was a shofar, if it was a mikveh in the winter, there wouldn't be a hana. But svarim, Talmud Torah is different. The ikka mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to enjoy what you're doing. That's not set up as a maaser of an avdus of eved l'raboy. With that Rabbein Avraham and Ahar in mind, and I'm sure the Meforshim asked this question, the birkas hamitzvah which we say for Talmud Torah every morning is a very unusual one. Where else do you find in the Torah that there's a bakasha that the particular mitzvah you should do should be arev, should be sweet? I'm not aware of such a thing, yeah? Shem Yichud, those who say, yeah, never ask that it should be a sweet mitzvah. The bracha itself that you should ask, you don't find with Leisha Basukah, a bakasha that my yeshiva's sukkah should be very sweet, it shouldn't rain, it shouldn't be too hot, my fan shouldn't go off, one of the kids knocks it with his elbow. You never ask for such a thing when it comes to other mitzvahs. And when it comes to Talmud Torah, all of a sudden, day in, day out, the bakash you make is v'ha'erevna, that this limud should be sweet. V'sepes, all of a sudden, when it comes to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, that's included in the Birkas HaMitzvahs, including the Birkas HaMitzvahs, the Pashtas, of Limud HaTorah. According to Rabbeinu Avraham Nahar, it fits like a glove, because that's part and parcel of the Ikka Sivui of the Talmud Torah, is it should be a Hana. He says this explicitly, it should be a Tanug, it should be a Hana. And the Meila, when a person asks for HaErevna, when it comes to the Mekhani Mitzvah of Talmud Torah, there's not some kind of side request that this mitzvah, which is incumbent upon us, Yemam Volayna, should also be a good thing. And it's part and parcel of the actual key of the mitzvah, if it's very well, that's included in the Birkas HaMitzvahs. So, Yitz Hashem, in this forum and beyond, we should all, Be'ez Hashem, be Zoche, that our Limud HaTorah, our Talmud Torah, whether you hold like the Ben Avraham Nahar, Lahalach, or you don't, trust me, the Rashba also, the Torah was very sweet to the Rashba, and he would have been mispalel for all of us as well, that it should be Arev for us, our Limud HaTorah, our Kabbalah HaTorah. Have a good day and have a wonderful Yom Tov.
I was talking to Jim about Emmanuel Bernstein last night, all about Talmud Torah. He was saying, what is Talmud Torah? Is it Talmud teaching? Is it Lilmud? Or is it both? So to the extent that an element of Talmud Torah is teaching, then he would get, that would tell him that he's doing it.
My wife's in Scotland.
Your wife's in Scotland?
Yeah.
I'll take the bus.
Family's still there. My French figure's still there, yeah.
Oh, wow, where? The Gifnok.
Yeah. When I got married, there were still like 67,000 people there.
Man.
Jews.
Really?
There used to be 35,000 Jews in Glasgow.
Wow. I know there used to be a colour than everything.
Yeah, there was rockers.
I went to your wife.
It's still a bit, yeah. Great to see you too.
Great to see you. Can't see your parents.
I should take a good shape of the JD.
Rabbi in residence. Can I ask you, Shaila? What's rabbi in residence? What's this residence space?
Where is this residence? Don't know, it sounds very nice.
Very nice. Very nice here, actually. Really very nice.
Thank you very much.
Ravron Ben Nahar. Min or Ben Nahar?
Min
Nahar. Is it Ravan? It's not Ravan, it's Ravana.
Ravan Ben Nahar, yeah. I think Nahar is Montpellier in South France.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's where you're from. Where's Yankee?
Yankee is away. What's in
Belgium? Send him our regards. I had to say that disclaimer then. There's not halach on the mice, so I wouldn't get in trouble with Yankee.
Did he get in trouble last time?
Yeah. No, but good trouble, good trouble. Great to see you.
Lovely to see you.
Be well.
Enjoy JLE.
Thanks.
You should be the Harivan and JLE.
Oh, mate. I hope they're horrible. I like the sound of my own voice.